listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also sign up for an account on DenverStiffs.com if you haven't already. You're looking for people, Nuggets fans, to get in the conversation with. Great community we have there. So you can sign up there and you can hang out in the comment section, as some people do all day long, every single day. We love to have as many Nuggets fans as part of our community. This episode of the show is going to be on my notes on the win over the Sacramento Kings. I thought this was a fascinating game. This was a really interesting game with lots of fun talking points, and I thought a very encouraging game for the Denver Nuggets. One of the best half-court offensive games of the year. I thought it was one of Nikola Jokic's best games of the year, which is going to be a major talking point because I saw a lot of people on social media and even Chris Marlowe's talking about how they wanted Jokic to be more aggressive. I thought this was an incredibly aggressive game from him, and I thought it was a really, really – I watched it twice. I'm recording this one kind of late, or I guess I should say early in the morning here. But I watched the game twice, and on the second watch, I thought he was even more aggressive than I thought on the first watch. So we're going to get into that and then talk about some great notes about Trey Lyles, Juancho Hernangómez, some really good stuff in this lineup to talk about tonight. But I'm going to start out with the early notes of the game. I thought Denver, right out of the bat, first of all, I thought there was a noticeable focus to Nikola Jokic tonight, and the broadcast crew with Altitude kind of alluded to how vocal he was in the huddles and things like that, which I think is really interesting. I'm going to get to that as well here in a little bit, but he just looked he was sprinting up and down court and sprinting into DHOs and pick and rolls. Everything he was doing he did with such purpose and tempo. And the Nuggets, as a result, started the game by getting to the rim on almost the first, I think, five possessions. They got to the rim on every single one of them. Just really aggressive. And that's a problem the Nuggets have had this year. They haven't done a great job of getting shots at the rim. They're one of the lowest or least frequent teams at getting shots at the rim, whereas last year they were one of the highest frequency teams of getting to the rim. So it was encouraging tonight, and I think that there's a couple things that play into that. One was the tempo in the half court, I thought, was just phenomenal, and it forced the defense into multiple decisions, thinking about things quickly. You know, they'd go into one DHO, quickly reverse it into another pick and roll, quickly reverse the ball into another DHO or dribble pitch, and it just put a lot of pressure on the defense, and they were able to turn the corner and get into the paint. The other thing is I just think the spacing is great. You know, I'm very, very high on the starting lineup that the Nuggets have, their base starting lineup with Wilson Chandler and Paul Millsap. I think it's been phenomenal this year. And I think it's going to be even better once they figure out the spacing and some of the half-court messiness that they've had. But tonight you had kind of an old, you know, last year's Nuggets type roster with Fareed and Jokic in the front court. You had some shooting with Murray, Harris, and Barton out there, so you had a lot of spacing. And you just see what happens when this team has a lot of spacing. They scored 20 points in the first 7 minutes of the game. You extrapolate that pace over the course of of 48 minutes, it's something like 130 points or something like that. So they were on pace for a monster quarter, on pace for a monster game. The ball was popping. It was just moving. Everything was going really, really well in that first couple minutes of the first quarter. Barton in particular was very aggressive, and that's a huge credit to him, but it's also a huge credit to the spacing, because his aggressiveness was in getting to the rim, and his aggressiveness was in the pick and roll. And the Nuggets just did such a great job, I thought, of spacing the floor and getting into early offense, not necessarily secondary breaks, but just early. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of pounding the air out of the ball, guys looking and trying to do some deliberate actions. It was just they knew what they were going to do, get into some pitch and rolls and dribble pitches. They got into them quick, and they wore the defense out in the half court for some wide open shots. 20 points in 7 minutes. And then think about this. Kenneth Fareed missed a dunk. Jamal Murray missed a wide open three-pointer. If you were to grade the type of shots he got, you know, that he missed out on the wing, it was one he was set. The pass came to him right in the pocket. It was in rhythm. I think 9 times out of 10, he knocks that one down. So you could have easily seen 25 points in the first 7 minutes from this team. It was just a phenomenal start to the game, and I thought it was going really, really well. So much of this team is dependent on the decision making of the guards, because the quicker they can kind of get into the flow or get the ball moving in the half court, and the more they can keep the ball moving, the better off they are. And I think with both point guards, both young point guards, Moutier and Murray in particular, they just, I think there's some times where they feel like they need to do something like, oh, I got to be aggressive here, I got to try to get into the paint. I think when the team cuts out anything short of a B-plus shot attempt and anything short of a B-plus dribble drive attempt, you go into a pick and roll, and if you could turn the corner and you have a B-plus opportunity to turn the corner, do it. If not, just keep the ball moving. And that trust, if you just trust that your teammates could come up with something, or, you know, if you move the ball enough, you come up with something, you'll get some great looks. And then that first 7 minutes of the game, really 6.5 minutes of the game, the Nuggets did that every time down court, and they just got a lot of great looks. It was a lot of fun to watch. Jamal Murray picked up 2 fouls and comes out of the game. And I always have to be careful with this. Fans they get so upset when I talk or when I'm critical of any players, really, but in particular Emmanuel Mudiay. But this was a game that I thought the first half at least he was really, really bad in. And it changed the game the way that he was bad with some of the turnovers, but also just some of the decision making, because that ball was popping in the first 7 minutes. And when he checked into the game, and really also Jokic checked out, I mean, you look at both of them, both of those things obviously were very important. But as soon as that happened, there was just a lot of bad decision making and a lot of forcing, trying to force the offense instead of just kind of allowing it and trusting the offense to kind of flow naturally. So, the second half, you look, they scored 20 points in the first 7 minutes, 6.5 minutes of the quarter. They didn't score again until the buzzer. They went 5.5 minutes without a single bucket or a single point. And it's not a surprise because of the way they were playing with some turnovers. But the turnovers that were generated out of what I would call, you know, Jokic always says, I don't mind aggressive turnovers. He talks about the difference between aggressive turnovers versus like sloppy. Well, I would change that. I would say smart aggression, because sometimes there's such a thing as like out of control aggression. And I thought in that last 5 minutes of the quarter, the Nuggets had some bad aggression where rather than trusting the flow of the offense to kind of get 3 or 4 different pick and rolls and dribble handoffs and kind of flow naturally, it was turn the corner, don't really have anything, but let's see what happens if I try to attack the rim. And that's the plays that I think Mudiay in particular has to cut out, because he's so good when he plays within the system and when he kind of allows the opportunities to come to him. And whenever he takes B-plus opportunities in the pick and roll, he's really, really good. And whenever he takes B-minus or worse opportunities in the pick and roll, he's really, really bad. So that's why I say for him it's such a – he's, in my opinion, so bad, but so close to being good if he can just kind of figure out where the line is for him of when to be aggressive and when not. And in that first 5 minutes, I thought he didn't have a good grasp on that. But and when that happened, so you look at a Nuggets offense that's on pace for 140 points, they run into this brick wall. And they kind of didn't recover until the third quarter. The whole rest of the game, they had a hard time getting back into that rhythm. And that's kind of been how the team has been this whole year, where they will get a good run, they'd have some good stuff going, but then once they get stuck in the mud, it's hard for them to get out, and it's almost hard for the teammates to trust each other to pull themselves out of it. Now I want to talk about about Nikola Jokic here, because Chris Marlowe mentioned this on the broadcast. Oh, he only has 4 shots. He needs to be more aggressive. And I saw on Twitter and all the social media accounts and different things, you know, people saying, oh, he needs to be more aggressive. When he's aggressive, the team is good. I thought Jokic in that first quarter played as well, or he played as great the way I think he should play as any game this year. And he didn't take a single shot. The ball was popping in that quarter in large part because of him, and I encourage people to go back and watch it. If you're interested in listening to this and you disagree at this moment, I encourage you to go back and just watch the first 6.5 minutes of that quarter. And, you know, I didn't think he passed up any shots that he should have taken, but he was so quick with his decision-making to get the ball moving. And, you know, Jokic is a facilitator. This is his natural role is as a facilitator, and tonight he was facilitating a lot more than he was scoring. And I think that was the right thing. He was the reason the ball was moving so quickly in the half court. And you could tell it was one of those things where he was focused on getting the ball moving. I thought this was an interesting game from him all around because, you know, the broadcast crew mentioned that he was more vocal than they'd ever seen him in the huddle and on the court. And, you know, with Millsap out, that's what you want to see. And Wilson, and to a lesser extent, Wilson Chandler, another veteran. You know, everybody was looking to Nikola, and I thought he came out looking like a player that felt like everybody was looking at him and embraced that sort of responsibility. So I thought he came out with a ton of energy and focus. I don't mind him only taking 4 shots in the first quarter. I thought it was fine. There weren't a lot of moments where I looked at it and said, man, he needs to force the shot. He's so much more concerned about getting a good shot for the team, and I thought he did that quite a bit. So let me just roll this off for you guys. In 2 games against the Kings, he is a plus 45. He was a plus 24 tonight, the team high. In both games, he was actually a team high. The team scored 20 points. I heard some people say, you know, oh, well, he wasn't good in the first quarter. He was too passive in the first quarter. He was on the court for 6.5 minutes, and they scored 20 points in that. I don't know how much, you know, him being aggressive in any given moment. He kind of takes what the defense gives him, and any moment there, I don't know that you could say that you could have expected more points than 20 in 7 minutes. That's as much as anybody can realistically expect of anybody. So I thought he just made some great – he was doing great decision-making and didn't really need to press shots or 4 shots at any point. So I don't really get why he needed to – why he needs to shoot more. And then I saw people say, you know, he was more aggressive in the second half. You just look at, he took 8 shots in the second half as opposed to 4 in the first half. He took 5 3-pointers in the second half. So if people are saying he needs to shoot more 3-pointers, I would disagree with that as well. I mean, he takes when the defense is sags off him and he's wide open as he was in the second half, he takes them. But he took the same amount of 2-point shots in the first half and second half. It's just in the second half he took more threes and he knocked down 2 out of 5 of them. So I just think, you know, this game he was such a huge impact on the game the way he was playing and turned out to be a plus 24 overall. And I just think that it was getting the team to play the right way and getting them to do the things that opened up really high efficiency shots. And this was, I think, their third best offensive output in terms of offensive rating of the season. So this was the third best offensive game that they've had all year. And him taking 14 shots or 12 shots, whatever it was, I think that was the healthy mix for tonight. If there's opportunities for him to get better shots, then I think he will take them. Now, here's the thing that the sort of philosophical question I posed on my Twitter account at Adam_Matez. You know, people said, you know, once he took shots, that's when the team really pulled away. And I, of course, said correlation does not equal causation, meaning it's not because he took more shots that the offense got going. But the more philosophical question to ask is, does Jokic taking more shots make the offense run more productively, or does a productive offense lead to more Jokic scoring? And I would argue it's the second. Jokic is a guy that only likes to, it's in his brain to only take A-plus shots or B-plus shots or better. And he'll press them when needed, end of shot clock, maybe end of game, maybe in tight situations. But for the most part, he just really, really trusts that the team as a whole, the 5-man unit, can get a great look if they are just patient with it. And I think what people look at sometimes is other guys will make bad decisions in the half court, namely the 2-point guards, but also sometimes Will Barton will get a little trigger happy and force some shots or, you know, not so much Gary Harris, but and not so much Wilson Chandler, but just sometimes other guys will take bad possessions and force, and people will think, okay, they're forcing shots. The key now is for Jokic to force a shot. And to me, that's just so counterintuitive. I think what Jokic thinks and the way he operates, and I don't think he thinks this like he sits and actually consciously thinks this through his head, but I think it's just kind of instinctual in him, is he knows that you don't compound bad decisions by making more bad decisions, and you don't kind of settle a team down by going and forcing a shot in the post or forcing this type of action or whatever. There's a time and a place for that, but the best thing he can do, the best thing he brings to this team is he gets the ball moving in the half court and he gets the offense humming efficiently. And I thought throughout this game, that seemed to be his number one focus, and he did such a good job of it. Outside of, you know, the second quarter, there was just a lot of turnovers, but I don't think they were necessarily on him. But he just affected the game. And here's another thing about it. This idea of, like, first of all, Jokic, this is what makes him different than DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins is a super talented guy who's also this great one-on-one player. I think Jokic is a very good one-on-one player, not an elite all-star level one-on-one player. But the difference is, like, he just knows when to go to that and when not to. And you look at it, I think people overvalue, more than anything in basketball, people overvalue this one-on-one shot creation across the board, not just with centers, with all players. I think they think of talented basketball players as guys that can just kind of get a bucket off of, like, no passing, just clear out and let them go. I think this is a very much Michael Jordan's Kobe Bryant creation, because before that, prior to that, your Bill Russells and your Larry Birds and Magic Johnson, these were guys that thrived off of creating shots in the half court through smart play and ball movement. Bill Walton, 1970. So I looked it up because I had to look this up to try to get some comps, because I think Bill Walton, Arvydas Sabonis, even Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, these are guys that are the biggest comps to Nikola Jokic, because their style of play was much more as this, like, superstar facilitator. Well, Bill Walton, 1977, wins a championship. He had 23 games. Out of an 82-game season, he had 23 games with 16 points or less. He won the MVP, and he won an NBA championship. Arvydas Sabonis, in his best NBA season, 1998, 32 minutes a game. He had 48 games with 12 or fewer field goal attempts. Absolutely incredible player and passer, and the team was better when he was on the court and all of these things. But some players, they can dominate the game without doing this. I think, for whatever reason, people think you have to be a different type of player than you are. Of course, Larry Bird, you can look up the numbers, same exact thing. Maybe not 48 games, but there was 10 to 15 games a year where he would score fewer than that many points. Magic Johnson even more so, because he was less of a scorer, but he was so much, he impacted the game in so many other ways. And if you think about it, I know it's weird to compare Magic Johnson to Nikola Jokic, for one, because Magic Johnson's one of the best players of all time, if not the best, and Jokic is not that. But just in terms of style, What Magic Johnson brought to a team, it could be counted in assists, but more than that, it could be counted in just the way that he got the offense firing and how he got the ball moving and where it needed to be. And I thought that's what kind of game Jokic looked to play tonight, and that's what kind of game he successfully played tonight. And, of course, he added some buckets when the opportunities arise, but without forcing it. So tonight I watched this game, and I kind of laughed seeing some of the remarks. I thought this was one of the best games from Jokic all year. And I think this is who he is. Now, in the second quarter, when he came in and the offense kind of floundered a little bit, I thought a lot of reason that he wasn't scoring was because the offense wasn't humming and he just wasn't in position to score because there was other guys taking some bad shots. So that's my little soliloquy on Jokic tonight. I thought he had a phenomenal game, and it was no surprise at all to check the box score and see that he was a plus 24 tonight. Some quick other notes before we wrap up. Sacramento was going over screens tonight, and they were going over screens in game two of the season. And I think that has a little bit to do with why the Nuggets were so successful with their pick and roll tonight and in their half court offense in general, and why they were able to get into the paint. They need to find ways to generate more possessions with them going over the screen. And the spacing helped. Having three elite shooters on the court, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, really helps. That opens up a ton of spacing on the floor for guys to be able to get those curl cuts. But Sacramento going over the way that they did so frequently, I think, opened that up for them. The Nuggets have been doing these out of timeouts, first play of the game, first play of the second quarter. They do these very deliberate set plays, and I'm going to put this on my pickaxes and O's column for Wednesday. It is to start the second quarter, the Nuggets had an opportunity to get Jamal Murray on a wide open at the rim on a curl, but because the play was so rigid and so, like, no, this is what we're doing to start the quarter, they didn't even look for it. And they've done that so much. There's so many plays this year to start the fourth, to start the second half, whatever it is, where you could say, okay, we're going to try to get Wilson in the post, or we're going to try to get Barton in the pick and roll. And it's like, if I think there always has to be a certain amount of flexibility in your half court offense, even on these ATOs or whatever, to where guys just know it's still read and react basketball. Even if this is what we're trying to do, if you have an opportunity to get a wide open layup, you take it. Plumlee looked great in the Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Juancho Hernangómez, Trey Lyles, Mason Plumlee lineup. So that's a stretch lineup that features, again, three elite shooters, Murray, Harris, and Juancho. Trey Lyles knocked down a couple shots, so you can kind of count him as a fourth, especially in the corners. You put Plumlee with that much spacing. This is what I think the Nuggets need to do to make Plumlee an effective member of this team. I think it has less to do with what he does on the court and more to do with who you surround him with, because it's so much more productive when he gets to be a center surrounded by shooters. And Murray in particular, you look at what Plumlee was able to do in Portland and playoff team, playoff winning team, and having CJ and Dame coming off of his screens and playing that pick and roll game, I just think you have to have somebody that can shoot, not just getting to the basket and turning the corner. And that's why I wonder if Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, these are guys that are maybe better suited to be playing with Plumlee in some capacity. Now, that puts a lot of pressure on the coaching staff, because Murray starts, Moutier comes off the bench, as does Plumlee, as does often Millsap and or Jokic combined with Plumlee. But perhaps tonight, the coaching staff saw something in Juancho and Trey Lyles, who I thought both played really well, and maybe they've earned some more minutes. I certainly think that it makes sense going forward to play with more stretch lineups, especially in that second unit. So Juancho looked good. That coast-to-coast he had was so impressive. And, his shot is just so pure that whenever he gets a good look, and he had a couple really good looks today, I know it's going in. And then Trey Lyles looked really good. The shooting is a big part of that, and he knocked down his shots. I don't know what kind of shooter he is or he's going to be this year, but he knocked down his shots tonight. But he also made a couple really good passes that I was really impressed by. So both of those guys, I think, earned more minutes going forward. We'll see. The rotation kind of crowded at that power forward spot, but we'll see if the Nuggets can find some minutes for him. All in all, I thought this was a super encouraging game for the Nuggets. It was a game they were supposed to win. Sacramento's not very good, but they won it going away. And they actually, I thought they played better than the score even showed, which is really encouraging. So this was a good one, I thought, for the Denver Nuggets. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Don't forget, I'm going to start something, Retweet Tuesday, this episode coming out on Tuesday. So go ahead and to help grow the show, give it a retweet. Maybe if you don't typically retweet the show on Twitter, or if you're on Facebook and you see it come up, give it a share, so, and maybe let your friends know that this is a podcast you like to listen to. It helped me grow the site, grow listeners, and we can continue to do cool stuff with it. Thanks so much, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.